Hello, race fans, and welcome to Disc Golf Daily. Today is Friday, April 12th. It's time to get caught up with disc golf news and growth in about 10 minutes. Thanks for sharing the podcast with a friend. As promised yesterday, you can share today's podcast with a friend. Yesterday's edition was totally lame. Today, we will touch the other third rail of disc golf, Maple Hill's new triple Mando on hole one. But first, the news. Our number one news story today, the Jonesboro Open starts today. Watch live on DGN or post on Jomez and Gatekeeper. Get ready to enjoy a reconfigured course with almost all of the same fun. The beautiful hole 1, which is the old hole 14, will start out the tournament for our players, giving an amazing first disc flight for all of the spectators. I know there's a big party on that hill, and that area will be rocking, especially with hole 1, right there. Our number 2 news story of the day, actually our final news story of the day, will there be a new number 1 after Jonesboro? One thing to watch for is the Calvin versus Gannon battle. They are currently tied for number 1 in the United rankings of disc golf, although Calvin has a general downward trend and Gannon has a general upward trend. If they tie, Gannon may just move ahead due to his recent events being better than Calvin's. If Calvin can beat Gannon, which may require winning the event, he will likely maintain his number 1 status. And on the women's side, Owen has managed to get within striking distance of Kristen for the number 1 spot. If she can pull out a win and Kristen falls a bit, we may have a new number 1 on the women's side as well. Stay tuned for Thursday's podcast to find out, or just watch the Jonesboro Open on DGN starting today. Now let's talk about triple Mandos. It will ruin the sport. The sport will never be the same. It's bad because it's not what our sport is. These are things people said about baseball's new foul ball rule. The year is 1901. Baseball proposes a new rule. All foul balls not caught will be considered a strike, but not for the third strike. Traditionalists argued vehemently against this change, saying it would ruin the sport. In the 1930s, hockey changed the rules to permit the forward pass, making the sport much more exciting. Traditionalists again said the change would ruin the sport. The same goes for 1975 when Prince came out with a larger tennis racket, and in 1990 when rally scoring was instituted in volleyball. These were all poo-pooed as bad for the sport. We should not dislike change just because it is change. Each of the above, and another dozen examples of sports evolving, were all positive changes that made the sport better. For players, for spectators, actually for both. If we're going to be accepting of single Mandos on the Pro Tour because we want spectators to be able to safely come and watch disc golf in relatively wide open parks, then we are going to have to expect that these will be adopted throughout the thousands of disc golf courses that exist and the hundreds that are being designed right now. Let's think about hole 7 at the USDGC, the bamboo wall hole. Imagine if it was a couple of janky posts with a literal string attaching the top of the posts. Now, imagine it was a forest with a gap in the woods cleared out, creating a green. We would all prefer the latter and hate the former. But the challenge is conceptually identical. The problem we have is with the aesthetics. The USDGC addressed this in a creative way, making a bamboo fortress. Imagine that hole without the bamboo fortress. Imagine asking the best players in the world to throw a 300-foot wide-open shot. Clearly, that would be the most boring hole ever, and you would never put expensive spectator seating behind the tee. Add a bamboo fortress, though, and now we're talking VIP spectator seating to watch one of the more entertaining holes on the course. I don't want to say one of the most entertaining because that course has so many entertaining holes, but it's in the top half for sure. Would I want to see 18 of these? No. No, no, no. Am I okay with one on the front and one on the back? I am. And I used to not be. The USDGC, in relentlessly pursuing entertaining and challenging disc golf, has won me over. All sports evolve. Traditional golf used to play in rough grass and sand dunes. People genuinely argued you're supposed to hit the ball in thick grass or sand. Imagine someone saying that mowing an area of grass nice and low would be bad because it would change the game. That area of mowed grass isn't golf, they would say. Similarly, par fours in golf used to be 300 yards. Now they're 400 yards. Actually, in disc golf, long par threes used to be 300 feet. Now they're 500 feet. Sports evolve, and disc golf is evolving quickly. Golf discs use technology to improve their accuracy and distance. Simultaneously, players improve their accuracy and distance just by practicing and becoming professionals. Additionally, our courses consistently get more and more beat in, losing trees and rough. The game is changing. Mandos and triple mandos and OB rope can bring back some of the originally designed challenge while, if done correctly, positively impacting the course aesthetics. There are 15,000 disc golf courses, all of which were designed, at best, based on what current disc golfers can do. In 5 or 10 years, those skill sets are going to be greatly improved. Mandos, triple mandos, and OB can help bring the challenge of risk-reward back to the game for many of these courses as the game evolves. Let's do a quick back and forth with arguments against mandos. Number one, mandos, like artificial OB, add a stroke penalty for what may be a small mistake. We should be encouraging scrambling rather than stroking players. Yes, a purist may argue that OB rope does not belong on a disc golf course. Much like my rant against rollers yesterday, that ship has sailed. At this point, we should do everything we can to encourage designers to be thoughtful with OB and mandos and to not overuse it. Only utilize it in cases where it challenges the player to think about their goals on the shot and the opportunities that flirting with the OB can give them for a better score. Having said that, the ship has not sailed regarding mandos. But if you've watched the Pro Tour at all this season, its sails are up and they are lifting the anchor. Mandos are going to be more and more common. One goal of the triple mando on hole one is to encourage designers to utilize them thoughtfully and be aware that aesthetics matter a lot. Regarding the stroke penalty being too punitive, I'm open to the idea of having the penalty be just distance instead of stroke and some distance. This would lessen the penalty and invite the aggressive play, and in some instances would be a great idea. Number two, it would be better to incorporate natural elements like trees and water. I agree 100%. Trees and water are the best types of obstacles for disc golf. And on hole one at Maple Hill, this is absolutely what we utilized. However, over the past 15 years, the woods on either side of the opening have thinned out due to discs flying through them. At this point, the woods are not a real deterrent to going for the green over the OB. And planting trees on a live fairway or in a populated OB area is a difficult proposition at best. Number three, mandatories make our sport look silly. There is definitely potential for this. Going back to the earlier example of the USDGC putting up a couple posts with a string connecting the tops of them, yeah, that would look janky. If mandos, especially triple mandos, are going to be used, they need to be installed thoughtfully and in an aesthetically pleasing way that matches the course and the regional aesthetic. Number four, mandatories, much like rope OB, give the impression that the designer took an easy shortcut instead of working harder to find a solution that helps bring out the best in players. I disagree with this on its face. Let's use the rope OB at Fox Run as an example. I don't believe anyone would feel that Jeff Spring and Steve Brinster were not thoughtful in the execution of the course layout and the rope. The rope serves to offer skill-appropriate challenges and opportunities for the players to succeed or fail, based on how much risk they are willing to take. A thoughtful triple mando, designed to bring a hole back to its intended challenge, should also not cause anyone to believe the easy shortcut was taken. Number six, good design can mitigate their usefulness. In principle, I agree with this. Using hole one at Maple Hill as an example, We used good design to develop a peninsula green, cutting a hole into the woods to define the area where players could attack the green. Over the last 15 years, again, the woods on either side of the entrance into the green have thinned dramatically. Players landing way left or way right of the entrance can pretty confidently punch through the woods and make it to the pin. This was not the original intent and has made the hole much easier. After the drive, the second shot is supposed to be a thoughtful shot. If you go for the green, you're bringing OB into play. If you lay up, you need to be sure to set yourself up in front of the mouth because the woods on either side were very thick. Today, players still need to decide if they're going for the green. However, if they're not, then their accuracy on the second shot is much less important. Arguably, for some of the longer throwers on tour, they may be having this thought on their drive. The triple mando makes the accuracy of the shot approaching the green, whether it's the drive or the second shot, very important. Long drives that go way left or way right, in my opinion, should not get an easy birdie because the shot was not well executed. The triple mando addresses this. Bearing in mind the limitations of land and the desire to allow for spectators in more and more places, the triple mando in this case brings back the hole's original design. Number 7. They limit creativity in shot selection. Yes, in the same way that a forest does. That is the point. Using the logic that we don't want to limit creativity, we would simply cut down all the trees to let people be as creative as they want. In reality, we love nature, so we want a tree to define where these people throw. With a mando or a triple mando, we can accomplish the same thing, but because we put it there, all of a sudden now it limits creativity. If nature puts it there, or if we plant a big tree there, it is good, and it does not limit creativity. That doesn't make any sense. Also, using this logic, we would never want a fairway with one route to the basket. In my opinion, the goal of disc golf course design is to test as many shot styles as possible while allowing, on a subset of holes, different lines and creativity. Limiting creativity allows the course designer to test which player is best at a variety of shots. Allowing a disc golfer to be, quote, creative is actually just allowing a player to throw their best shot over and over. Number 8, most people don't like them. And I don't like lentils. That doesn't mean they are bad. Seriously, though, this happens a lot when sports evolve. Initially, people believe the sport is what it used to be as opposed to what it will be. I started this discussion with examples of sports that have evolved over time. Today, just like pretty much every sport has. Today, we just accept that this is how these sports are played. Heck, even the size of the hole in golf has changed from 6 inches down to 4.5. Sports evolve. Change is hard, but change for the right reasons is positive. Lastly, and this one I agree with 100%, number 9, there is an opportunity for disagreement about whether the mando was made or not. This is true, especially if the mando is not well designed and or constructed. On hole 1 at Maple Hill, not only is the triple mando over a foot wide on all of the sides, it is also 4 feet deep. People will be able to tell if the disc went through the mando. This is a very serious concern and needs to be mitigated to the extreme. Having said that, if it is successfully mitigated, this argument goes away. If you like mandos, great. Welcome aboard. If you don't, my goal today is to not to change your mind. My goal today is to ask you to be open about this dialogue so we can have an honest conversation about the future of disc golf. That's it for us today. If you have any thoughts, news, or opinions, shoot us an email at discgolfdaily@aol.com. Have fun, throw them straight, and hit the thin gap.